بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأولين والآخرين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاكرين والشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds, Master on the Day of Judgment. May peace and salutations be on our beloved leader and guide, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserves the great amount of respect. And when we enter the masjid, wherever it might be, we need to be cognizant with regards to certain rules of the masjid. Having said that, whether it's this masjid, wherever we go in the country or abroad, these rules we need to fulfill and abide by, because all are the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, that when we enter the masjid, whenever we enter the masjid, we have to observe silence at all times. The masjid is a place of prayer, devotion, and meditation. If we can respect the hush environment of our libraries, then the masjid deserves better. So all of us know when we go to the masjid, there's all silence in the library, complete silence, everybody busy, looking for information, etc. Very quiet. So the masjid deserves much more than that. So when we come to the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any time of the week, not only on the day of Jumu'ah, we come to perform our salah, fulfilling the great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we come, make sure we are silent, we observe the sanctity of the masjid, that we involve ourselves in whatever ibadat that we are going to get involved in. Either we will be performing our salah, our sunnah salah, our nawafil salah, then our fard salah with the imam. And there are others that will engross themselves in the recitation of the Quran Kareem, making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And others will be engrossed in dua. So if we come in the masjid and we do not observe silence, we are making a noise, we are disturbing those that have come and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. And if for some reason or the other, we need to talk or we need to say something to somebody, then we need to lower the tone so that we do not disturb those that are in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important point that we need to bear in mind when we come to the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, when we come to the masjid, we bring along our children. So we need to make sure that we look after our children when we bring them in the masjid. And we're not going to say that leave your children at home, the sons. They need to know the importance of coming to the masjid and performing salah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we bring them along to the masjid, make sure that they are seated with us so we know what they are up to. Because on so many occasions, we come in the front, in the masjid, we leave our children right at the back, we don't know what they are doing, what mischief they are getting up to. And so many times, whichever salah it might be, whether it's the Jummah salah, the normal 5 daily salah, so much of children making noise at their back, they disturb the imam, they disturb those that are behind the imam performing salah. So we need to make sure that we take care when we bring our young sons and the youth to the masjid. And we're not going to drive away the children away from the masjid. If they are here, if they get up to mischief, or they're running, or they make a noise in the masjid, then we need to take, as parents, full responsibility for that. And don't take their part and say, you know what, my son didn't do it. The one who says, my son didn't do it, he's the ringleader. He's the one that started all the mischief at the back. So there are sometimes people who come to the masjid and make sure that the children are quiet, not their children, but they take this upon themselves to make sure that the children are quiet in the masjid. But it's normal, it's going to happen, where children are going to get up to mischief at the back. And after the salah, in a nice manner, we need to tell those children and educate them that we have come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not allowed to run around here and to trouble people performing salah and so on. So in a nice way. So if you tell them in a nice way and tell them, you come again for the next salah. But if we're going to start hitting them and we shout them to such a point where we drive them away from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the unfortunate part is that we're going to lose those children. They will not come for salah again. Why? You ask them, why you don't come for salah? No, that uncle shouts me, that uncle hits me, he does this to me and so on. So as parents, take that responsibility so we don't have that problem. I give you a simple example of an incident. It happened here in South Africa sometime. A friend of mine had mentioned it to me. He say that once he brought his son to the masjid. So when he brought the son to the masjid, the son started imitating the imam, reciting Surah Fatiha and the Surah and all the rest of it. So the father, after the salah, nobody said anything to the child, but he just felt that, you know what, he's disturbing the imam, disturbing those people that have congregated in the masjid. So he found it very difficult to take his son the next time to the masjid. So every time he used to go to the masjid, the son wanted to come, he said, no, no, you stay, you're troubling and you're disturbing the imam and disturbing the musallis in the masjid. So a few days went along like that, he left the son at home. And one day, you see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, he was traveling in the community somewhere, and he passed one masjid, and it was the time of Maghrib Salah. Now he told his son, I'm not taking to the masjid because you're disturbing everybody in the masjid. So now the adhan has been called out. The son say, there's the adhan is going on, we have to go for Maghrib Salah. Now the father was in a problem. What do I tell my son? In my area where I go for Salah, I find it so difficult because he gets up to this where he reads what the imam, etc., disturbing everybody. What do I do? So he says, okay, I'm going to take my son to the masjid. I don't know what is going to happen now. He took the son to the masjid. The imam started and commenced the salah. The son recites the Surah Fatiha and the Surah and so on. After the salah is over, during the salah, the son, the father thinks, I don't know what the people of this masjid going to tell my son, and if I go and say, this is my son, I'm in another problem. So anyway, after salah was complete, dua is done, he walks to the back, and he sees lots of people going towards their child. But look at what kind of wisdom they spoke to this child. When they got them, they told this child, MashaAllah, you did so beautiful, you're reading so nice, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you become our imam in this masjid, subhanAllah. So that is the wisdom we need. So the father was worried, what is going to happen here? But when he heard all these things, he was at ease. And from that day onwards, he never used to perform salah near to his home, but rather he used to travel and come to this masjid because he was felt at ease that even if my son reads what the imam, nobody is going to tell him anything, nobody is going to trouble him because they understood him and they knew where he's coming from and they made special dua for him as well. And even in one masjid, there was a notice many years ago, not here, somewhere in South Africa, where it is so difficult with the youth attending the masjid. They had a notice there, if your child is 15 years old or under 15 years old, he must be accompanied by the father. So now that is on the other extreme. We want our youth to come to the masjid. And we need to embrace them coming to the masjid. Let us use wisdom, words of wisdom, to keep them in the masjid. Because they are the next generation to come after we have long gone from this world. And it's also sometimes about heartbreaking when we come for salah and we see very little of the youth coming to the masjid. MashaAllah, the fathers are here, the uncles are here, the grandfathers are here, MashaAllah. May Allah keep them steadfast coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the five daily salah, and at all times, whenever there's a program, etc. So we need to bring our children along with us and make sure they understand the etiquette and the rules of the masjid. The third one, When we come to the masjid, we must make sure that we wear respectful and appropriate clothing. Whatever it might be, whether it's a kurta, whether it's our shirt, our trouser, it doesn't matter. But appropriately, we need to be attired. Why? Number one, we are attending and coming into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second one, we are standing in front of our Creator, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we need to stand with great amount of respect because we are standing in front of our Creator. So we find many a times others are coming with, you know, pictures, they're inanimate objects, so we need to refrain from that. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come to the masjid, if we are dressed in such a manner where we have a t-shirt or a shirt that have inanimate objects, we wear the jubbah that is there in the cupboard, wear it, so at least it's safe from the eyes of the people in the masjid, as well as when we are performing salah, and somebody in front of us has the shirt with some writing or some inanimate object, it moves that the person that is performing salah, he gets carried away, he gets distracted by that writing that is on the back of that t-shirt or that shirt. So in the masjid and many masajid, they have a jubba. We wear the jubba and wear it over so we don't distract the musallis in the masjid. And with regards to that also, sometimes we come to the masjid, I forgot the topi at home, so we utilize the topi that is in the cupboard in the masjid. So make sure that when we leave the masjid, we return it and put it in that correct place. Sometimes it can happen, we use the jubba, we use the topi, and as we're going out of the masjid, and we forgot, hey, I've got the topi, I've got the jubba, or some people also use the sleeves of the masjid. So not a problem, come back into the masjid and leave it in that cupboard, because that is the place for it. Don't just leave it there on the chairs on the outside, then it makes it difficult. Our muadhin has to come and look, gather all those things and put it in the appropriate and correct place. So we must take that responsibility. We're utilizing those things from the masjid, put it on its place when we are done. Number four, when we come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to ensure personal hygiene. Because we're going to be standing side by side next to our brothers in the masjid. And no one likes to stand next to a person where a bad odor emanates from the body. One is maybe the person didn't bath. So that is one reason that caused difficulty to the musalli to the musallis in the masjid. Another way where we cause harm and difficulty to the musallis in the masjid when we're performing salah is the food that we eat. Sometimes we eat onion or garlic or whatever other kind of food which has a strong smell. So that also causes difficulty to our brothers that we are standing with in performing salah. So we need to make sure that if you have eaten something which have a strong smell or there's bad odor emanating from our body, from our mouth, then we make the use of the miswak or the toothbrush so that a beautiful fragrance emanates from the body. Or the other one where some people maybe don't have the miswak or very difficult to brush their teeth, you get this type of sprays, what a kind of a fragrance, making sure that it is halal. Then we just spray into our mouth, so at least, alhamdulillah, a beautiful fragrance emanates from our mouth. And with regards to the odor of on our body, we must. Some people perspire in summer more than others, and sometimes even winter, maybe the person was working and whatever, and now has perspired, and now there's a bit of an odor emanating from his body. So keep with you some ether and perfume and apply it so you don't cause any kind of difficulty in the masjid. It is also mentioned, the angels also, when a person comes in the masjid with a bad odor, so they also, don't like those odors that emanate. And even for those people who smoke, make sure you also take care with regards to that, because causes a difficulty for those that are not used to the smoke or the smell. So now he's performing salah, but now his mind is gone somewhere else. He's taken away because of that bad odor that's emanating from the person's mouth. The fifth one, when we come into the masjid, there are so many shelves that are put in place. Let us utilize those shelves and put our shoes on the shelf so we maintain some kind of neatness, some kind of discipline that our shoes are neatly put on the racks that are in the masjid. Because sometimes we've come, okay, sometimes it can happen where all the racks, especially on the day of Jummah, on the day of Eid, all the racks are utilized. So if we're going to place our shoes on the floor, make sure that it is neatly put against the wall or somewhere so the person that is coming in the masjid, it does not maybe fall or does not kick your shoe, then you have to start looking for your shoes. So take care with regards to that as well. The sixth one, when we utilize the tasbihs in the masjid, the Qur'ans, the kitabs and whatever, wherever we have taken it out and used it, make sure that we return it and put it back in the shelves that are provided or wherever the tasbihs are kept. Because this also shows that we have used it, we're getting the reward, but now we just leave it wherever we want and we think somebody is going to take it and place it there and it's the job of the muazzin, etc. It's not his job, it is our responsibility. We have utilized it, we have taken the Quran from the shelf or from the cupboard, make sure that we put it back. The next one, when we come to the masjid and we have to use the wudu khana, make sure that we do not waste water, whether at home or here. But especially when we come to the masjid, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to be performing our salah, reciting Quran, but now we're wasting water there in the wudu khana. We're talking and all the water is getting wasted there. And also after we have completed our wudu, we utilize the face cloth there or the tissue. Face cloth go into the basket that is there. And the tissue that we utilize, make sure it also goes into the dustbin. Don't just throw it all on the floor and make it again difficult and thinking that this is the job of the muadzin. Really, there's so much other things that he has to take care for. This is not his job, where he must come and look clean up after us and make sure the wudu khana is in a clean state. And then those that are utilizing the toilets also, make sure if you need to utilize the toilets in a nice manner, don't, after putting water in the jugs there, throwing it there and making the place in a very dirty place, making it so dirty that after we have relieved ourselves, the next person comes in there, he can't even relieve himself because there's so much of water there, we didn't flush the toilet, etc. It makes it so difficult for that person as well. And the last one, also, all of them are important, but this one here, I think, is the highlight of all these rules that we had mentioned. When we come to the masjid and we come with our vehicles, make sure that we park our vehicles properly. Inconsiderate parking and blocking people's driveways are unacceptable. Don't destroy the reward of our worship by causing harm to others. So we come into the masjid, fulfilling the great command of Allah, performing salah and all the other actions that go with it. But now we have blocked somebody. We have blocked somebody's driveway. We parked in somebody's in front of somebody's house. Now say we are here performing our Jummah Salah or whichever other Salah, and the person had to leave the masjid, some urgent thing came along, or he got sick or something of that nature happens. He goes out of the masjid, he can't move. I have blocked him. Somebody parked in front of the driveway. We're causing so much of difficulty to that person. Maybe he's in a serious problem that he had to attend to something, or somebody's driveway, that person had to leave, they had to take care of somebody or the family, and now you block that person. So now we are here in the masjid, they're waiting for us, they're in a difficulty, they need to attend and go somewhere. But now what we have done, we have destroyed our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the way we have parked outside. So if for some reason we have come late and we double parked, or we parked in front of somebody's driveway, or we have blocked somebody, then after the salah is complete, let us go outside, remove our car away from whoever we have obstructed, whoever we have parked in front of the driveways, etc. And then we parked it one side, we can come back into the masjid and continue with our ibadat. If we're going to be discontinuing with our ibadat here, that person there outside, he's stranded, he doesn't know what to do. He needs to go for a meeting, maybe he needs to attend to his family. He needs to attend to himself. And now we have caused so much of difficulty to him. In that way, we have lost out in our worship, where all our acts of worship have been now gone because we have caused so much of inconvenience to our Muslim brother. And also it is mentioned that we should not inconvenience or cause difficulty to any Muslim, whether male or female, because this is totally haram, unacceptable. So let us take cognizance of all these rules that we had mentioned with regards to the masjid, because we come to the masjid 5 times a day, or whenever we come to the masjid, we need to take care and uphold the rules of the masjid. And don't take it for granted, I know these things, but sometimes we forget. So we need to remember that we take extra care when we come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds and to abstain from evil. Ameen. Wa ma'alina illa al-balagh.